Welcome back to the show. This is Doug Haldeman. I'm here with Tammy Haldeman and also here with Stephen Schultz from Schultz & Myers Law Firm. Welcome back, Stephen.
Hi, Doug. Hi, Tammy.
So let's jump right into this because we've talked about all kinds of things involving boats and wave runners with liability, but what I want to get into is the money aspect of it because that's a that's a huge part of our show. And we know we have the real estate angle where our homes are probably the most expensive thing that we buy. Cars are frequently the second most expensive, but for some people, it's not cars. Some people, it's a boat that would be the most expensive, second most expensive thing they buy. So, Stephen, you have a boat now that's a really nice boat, but you've had quite a few different boats over the years, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been boating. It's in my blood. My dad had me on the Merrimack River when I was in 5-6 years old in the boat. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing it forever, and I've been owning boats for several years now. So I've kind of been on or owned or operated boats of all sizes and shapes and lengths and horsepower for many years.
So the question of how much does it really cost to own a boat is what we're going to dive into. Tammy, you've been around some boating. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is it, the first thoughts that come into your head when it comes to owning a boat?
Everybody thinks that, it's so easy. It's fun. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. And then like the gas alone, the maintenance, always something's happening to the motor, oil, just you name it, hoses breaking and ignition's not working. And oh my God, just all of that stuff. And we had owned a jet boat, which in and of itself is a whole nother beast than just a regular, propelled, boat motor. And those things just eat up the gas.
I want to preface all of this by saying that what we're going to tell you is not to tell you not to buy a boat, but it's to say if you're going
to
buy a boat,
to it.
Well, yeah, if you're going to buy a boat, you better go in with your eyes wide open and be very aware of what the cost is probably going to be and work it into your budget.
There's a couple sayings that are pretty frequently used. There's two of the happiest days in a boat owner's life are the day he buys the boat and the day he sells the boat. And some of the people use the analogy that the acronym that boat stands for betting on another thousand every time something goes wrong with the boat.
That's true.
You spend its money. Boat ownership is the best, and I endorse that. So absolutely,
right. You endorse that, but you can afford it.
But I didn't. It was in the beginning. It was definitely a stretch for me, but I made it work because I think it's such a good thing for family. So I found it worthwhile to do what I had to do to get my hands on one.
And that family, there's a tip jar right next to the captain's chair.
Right.
Feel free to put money in it.
It's always empty. Nobody seems to want to tip
me. All right.
So let's jump into some of the different costs. So let's just use an example. If somebody buys, what would be an example of let's say Lake of the Ozarks, a pretty decent boat that somebody would buy, maybe a typical boat down at the lake.
I think, most of the boats on the Lake of the Ozarks, it's obviously gotten much more crowded as the years have gone on, but most people have ski boats down there. 20, 21, 22-foot ski boats are generally what you see the most of down there.
So if we used $50,000 as a price for a typical boat, would that be about right?
I think it would be right for a used boat of that size. The new boats now are so astronomically expensive, but I think to buy a quality used 21, 22-foot boat, ski boat, is probably around $50,000. I think that's a good number.
Okay, so and we see them down there all the way up, $400,000, $600,000,
$800,000.
Oh, I mean, you probably see some even over $1 million new.
Yes, there's a couple big boats on the lake, and I don't want to go into details, but one is I know the guy who owns it, and he just had it shipped from Florida, and it was over $3 million. So it ranges the whole gamut on price and size down there.
Wow.
I remember my dad telling me that he had a yacht long before I was born, that he used to have a yacht. And then I found some old videotapes of him on that boat, and it was maybe like a 17-foot ski boat that to him was a yacht, because this would have been back in the 1940s, late 40s, right after World War II is when he owned it. That I guess that probably seemed like a yacht to him at the time.
That's great. Yeah, that's great.
All right, so one of the first things, if you're buying a $50,000 boat, would be sales tax. And I went on the Missouri website, and they actually have a calculator on there, which we'll put on our website. If you visit DougHaldeman.com, you'll be able to see. We'll put a link on there where you can calculate the tax. And I put in just my zip code for my home address if it was registered at my house. And the sales tax on a $50,000 boat was $3,225. Does that sound about right?
Sounds about right.
Okay. So next, let's talk about insurance. How much would insurance typically cost for a boat?
I think of that size, you'd have to call your homeowner's policy and get that added to it as an endorsement, maybe $750 or so.
Okay, so about 1.5 times a boat's value on a yearly basis would be a typical insurance that somebody could use as a factor when they're doing that calculation. And what about registration? Tammy, you've looked up registration on the website. Was it around $250 that I think we saw?
I think that's right.
Okay. All right. And then what about mooring or dock fees?
You know, typically the folks with the 21, 22-foot boats, if they're going to rivers, they're going to trailer them. So there's not going to be mooring fees. There's going to be launch fees at the ramp. But if you're taken to the lake, most of the people keep them, you know, either on land, which you're going to pay storage fees, or in the water in a slip. And, you know, that's going to be anywhere from, you know, maybe $1,000, $1,200 a year if you take all those things together.
Okay. And could be a lot more than that depending on the size of the boat.
It's always by foot, the dock size. So you're always going to pay more depending upon how large of a boat you have.
Okay. And what about if somebody has a little boat?
You know, it's going to be cheap. You know, maybe $400 or $500, somewhere around there.
Okay. All right. And if somebody does decide to trailer it, what would be the expense to trailer it?
Again, depending on the size, I'd say around $1,000 for a trailer to accommodate that size boat. And sometimes when you buy these boats, they come with a trailer. Sometimes they don't. So if you wanted to buy one aftermarket, you'd probably get one for about $1,000, I would think.
Okay. And then if you don't trailer it, because a lot of times, you know, most neighborhoods are not going to allow it. You know, we pull the boat up in front of the house in Whitmore. I'm pretty sure we're going to get a complaint from the neighborhood within about a day or so. So if you're going to just pay for winter storage, what would be typical cost?
You know, if you're going to pay to store it at a place at the lake or a place, you know, a public storage place by your house, I would think $1,000 maybe total. Okay. You know, some of these places at the lake can get expensive, especially if they store it indoors. And there are places at the Ozarks and other places throughout Missouri where they will store it indoors, so you don't even have to winterize the boat, and that can get pricey.
Okay.
And then the dreaded maintenance, Steve.
Right. That's the kicker. That's usually the expensive part. You got to part with some money to keep it properly maintained. But if you don't keep boats properly maintained, they fail, and it can be more expensive than...
So what would be a number we could use for maintenance?
I think if you do it right on a boat like that, it's maybe $3,000-$4,000, maybe a year to keep it properly maintained. And that may be a little high. You could probably get away with bare bones maintenance for maybe $2,000. And that will include, you know, winterization, changing oil, changing impellers, changing fuel filters, you know, water separators, things like that, that if are not properly done and proactively, you're going to blow out an art drive and cost you $7,000-$8,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So let's say $4,000, but it could be much higher if you blow an engine or some major repair.
Yeah. You know, you've got to look at it this way. Boat motors are always operating at a higher RPM all the time. Whereas in your car, you know, even when you're going 80 miles an hour down the highway, your car's maybe turning 2000 RPM, right?
Right.
Well, in a boat, a ski boat, you know, if you're going, you know, 30 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour, you're up in 3,500 RPM territory. So that boat's always working hard all the time.
Right.
So if you don't properly maintain the motor, you know, they'll fail, and it is expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't change the impellers, they overheat, and then you have a blown block and you have all kinds of problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That doesn't sound like fun.
No.
All right. So let's talk about the dreaded gas, because your gas is gas more expensive on the lake?
It is. They charge more because they can. Because of the you know, the supply and demand.
Where are you gonna go?
There's only a few places, you know, you can go get it. And, you know, the caveat to that is if you're buying actual gasoline, you know, save your receipts. If you're buying it on the water, there's a tax that they charge that typically you can present to your account at the end of the year to see if you get some kind of refund on that. But the gas can be, you know, $3, $4, upwards of $5 a gallon, depending on where you're fueling up on the water.
Okay. So $3 or $4 or $5, you know, $4 to $5 a gallon. You could easily spend, you know, $250 on a weekend out there. And if you're going down to the lake every weekend, you could use it. Reasonable to say you could spend $1,000 a month in gas.
You could. You know, if you go down there for a three-day weekend and you're pulling tubers and skiers, which is going to eat more gas on a boat like that, you know, you're going to go through a couple tanks in a weekend pretty easily.
And what do you spend on your boat?
I'd rather not disclose that. It's a lot.
Yeah, it would be a lot of money.
It's a lot. And I have two engines on my boat. So obviously the more horsepower you have and the more motors and the more stuff on board to run, you know, the more fuel you're gonna consume. Mm-hmm. And I have a diesel boat, so it's a little different, but it sure does eat a lot of gas, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. So Doug, can a person declare a boat as a second home and deduct the interest on the mortgage?
That's a really good question. So directly from the IRS website, they list a qualified home, and the answer is yes if It has sleeping, cooking, and toilet facilities.
Okay.
So it basically, you can deduct home mortgage interest on a debt that's secured by a qualified home. And a qualified home would be a house, condominium, a cooperative, a mobile home, a house trailer, a boat, or similar property, as long as it has a sleeping, cooking, or toilet facilities. And also, as a second home, as long as you don't have another second home already declared.
Okay. And Stephen, you had mentioned before to save on taxes if you register with the U.S. Coast Guard. Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. So if you have a boat that has a toilet on board, you can register your boat with the U.S. Coast Guard. And what that will do is it will allow you to get away from sales tax. So you register your boat with the Coast Guard, and you get a list certificate from the Coast Guard, and then you will pay an in lieu of tax that's typically a whole lot cheaper than sales tax. So people who buy bigger boats and even smaller boats, if you have a toilet on board, then you were able to register that boat with the Coast Guard.
And what's the downside of that? Are they going to commandeer your boat at some point?
That's the law, and it's an archaic law. But the benefit that they get from that is in the event of some type of war, they get to use your boat and commandeer it and use it for their purposes. And I don't know if there's going to be war at Lake of the Ozarks or not, but the chances of that happening and commandeering your boat are probably pretty slim. Mm-hmm. So the benefits, I think, outweigh the risk of them commandeering your boat.
They'll have the right to bear arms on your boat.
Right. Correct.
See an old cannon on there.
Right.
Okay, so if we jump backwards a little bit, if we talk about still running down that list of costs, okay, we've gone through the gas. If it's a new boat that you're buying, or not necessarily new, but new to you, you'll have to get a safety kit, I would assume. Mm-hmm. It's going to include, what would you get?
You would want to get mooring lines. You want to get bumpers, otherwise known as fenders, to make sure your boat doesn't, get banged up on when it's docked. You want to get life jackets. There's a requirement that you have to have one life jacket, U.S. Coast Guard approved flotation device for every soul on board. So, if you're going to have a bunch of people down on your boat, you have to make sure and have one life jacket per person, because Water Patrol will pull people over indiscriminately to check and make sure you have that equipment on board, and they will count life jackets. And more importantly, they have to be accessible. So make sure they're accessible to people on board and not stowed away underneath some compartment where nobody can find them. Also, having flares on board is a good idea. Having a VHF radio is a good idea. Just things that are on first aid kit would be good. Just to make sure that you're, if something happens and you're stuck out in the middle of the lake or a river, you're able to,
And not be the captain of the Titanic.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Now, what about GPS costs? Do you see people still buying GPS for boats?
Some do, some don't. I think with technology and iPhones and the apps, there's so many things you can use on your phones that can supplement the GPS system. So, that may or may not be useful to you. GPS systems themselves can be expensive, so if you can double your iPhone or whatever phone you use as a GPS, that may be a benefit.
Excellent. So grand total, first year of boat ownership, in this case, would be $63,925 that first year. Now, you don't necessarily have to pay the full $50,000 the first year, but you are going to have to put a down payment if you buy that $50,000 boat. So let's say you even put $10,000 down and borrow $40,000, then you're going to have some interest carry there, but that cost then goes down, but you're going to be at still $23,925 that first year. Significant amount of money. Somebody needs to be in a financial position where they can afford that and know just exactly what those costs are going to be, and have some contingency money out there in case some surprise comes up with it.
Absolutely.
Make sure that you're well insured too. And if you end up having any type of injury related to your boat, okay, you need to make sure you get in touch with Stephen Schultz from Schultz & Myers Law Firm right away. Stephen, definitely appreciate you taking the time to go through this today. I know this is a long way away from personal injury work that you do, but you're an avid boater and definitely appreciate your expertise.
I was glad to be here to talk about it. I love boating, so it's a fun topic to discuss.
And if anybody'd like to contact you, they can look you up on our website at DougHaldeman.com, or they can go to SchultzMyers.com or reach out and call you at 314-444-4444. So, Stephen, thanks again for coming in.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks, Tammy.
So don't forget, just a reminder for you, next Sunday at 4 p.m., you won't want to miss the Doug Haldeman Show here on FM News Talk 97.1. I want to give a big thank you to Stephen Schultz for joining us today and sharing all of his wisdom. Becoming a financial juggernaut is as simple as listening every Sunday at 4 p.m., modeling the advice of the experts, and implementing your personal plan. See you next week.